Enter Endon's Mystic Garden, where Endon Magic and Chris Wessling will walk you through mystic realms. Endon Magic is an ordained minister, a doctor of philosophy, a Reiki master, a clairvoyant and clairaudient. She has many gifts where she works with spirits, angels, and many other beings from the other side. Several psychic clubs and has over 50 years experience in the psychic realm. Welcome to this magical and mystical program.
Ending of Ending Mystic Garden, and this is Chris, my dear friend, and we are here to give you some insight tonight. Hello,
good evening,
Chris.
Everybody. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
It's good to hear you and all the listeners again. I know we've had a few listeners in because we've had some beautiful emails. For those who want to, we'd love to hear from you, so keep them coming. And any questions you've got either this evening or you'd like to send us through email, more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, Endon, I believe you had a story you were going to tell us tonight.
Well, I was going to tell a story, but let me give the toll-free number for them to call in now.
Good idea.
The toll-free number is 888-268-4313. Now, if you're international calls, it'll be 218-419-7697. So call us with your questions, and we will attempt to answer them. Thank you. Okay, Chris.
Yeah. As I was saying, we've had one or two emails which have been really nice to receive. And if there's any particular subject of interest that you'd like in the paranormal, psychic, or personal development here, do feel free to send them in because we're quite open to subjects that you've got suggestions for and that you'd like to know a bit more. And in between Endon and I, we've got a wide range of experience in many fields. And there's usually one or the other that can give you an insight or a good lead of where to go.
All right. Chris, I was going to talk about a little story that I recently, to put it quite bluntly, my little doggie passed away. She was so sweet. She was only about a couple pounds.
Yeah.
And she just passed away, so I'm a little down in the mouth a little bit, but that's okay for now. But anyway, long story short, a few years back, the picture that's on my website with my little white poodle.
Yeah.
Okay, her name was the Queen. Okay, she passed away. When she passed away, the next night, she came back to me, and as she was coming up the hill, she suddenly changed into the little gray poodle I just lost. I said, wow, now I'm going to have to find this poodle because she brought me the one I'm supposed to have.
Yes.
So I searched every, dog pounds, et cetera, newspapers, everything, searching for a little tiny grayish poodle. I mean a little itty bitty one. So as I was talking to one of my friends, she said, and I was telling her the story about how I'm supposed to have this little gray poodle. And she says, I have one. I said, you do? She says, yes. And I want to give her away. She says, do you want her? And I said, is her name Coco? She said, yes. I said, then I want her because she's supposed to be mine.
Yep.
So we got the little girl. And she was so abused, not by the lady that I got it from, because she got it from another one.
Yeah.
She had been so abused. This poor little doggy, you know, 2 pounds, had the people who had her had cut her voice box out and just tortured this poor little baby until my friend got her, and then she gave her to me. Okay, so we had her for several years, and so she passes away. But 3 days before she passed away, the queen came and told me she was going to take one of my babies.
Yep.
Okay. So I said, okay, that'll be okay. So 3 days later, my little Coco passed away. The next night, they both came, and my little Coco was barking, dancing around, running around, playing with the queen. They were quite happy together, so I'm really, really happy that the queen came and got her and took her home. Because before she couldn't bark, the poor little old, if you'd seen her, the poor little old thing, you know, we did the best we could with her. She was an adorable pup that somebody just mistreated so bad, you know. I hate people that way. But I'm glad she went home with the queen, and the queen is happy, and I'm happy for her also. But it's a true story. Happened exactly like I said. The queen came and took her home. And then they both came to visit, and they're both quite happy.
Yeah. It's a big one, like, considering that you're probably quite emotional with it now.
Oh, I'm really emotional with it because, you know, we've had her for a good while now, and she loved her daddy. She always sat beside him, and she was so tiny. You hold her in your hand, you know.
Yep.
And to think somebody would hurt something that small.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there, you know, not percentage-wise, but sometimes it seems numbers-wise, who haven't learned that kindness in life, or haven't learned to be kind to other things, beings, entities, or whatever. You know, and it's sad that way. You know, they haven't found that love, that compassion, which we've all got inherently. And more often than not, we find that these people have been abused in their earlier years as well. You know,
right.
Abuse goes on and from generation to generation until we say stop and do something about it.
Well, at least she found that somebody really did care for her. You know, we took very good care of this little girl.
Yeah. It's amazing how the animals actually work with humans like that. You know, they know there's somebody out there. They put out a call for it. You got it. And then you went looking for the animal that needed that. Or was,
yes, I did. I drove my husband nuts, me calling every day different places, you know. He says, you're really going to get a little tiny dog right after the queen died. And he knew I cried for weeks after her, you know. But I said, oh, and I still do. I see her, you know, every once in a while. But I said, yes, we need to get this little dog, and we got her.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because with the story you're telling, you know, it brings home that point that often I've heard debate about whether animals have souls and things like that. But to me, that was really answered in what you've said, because there's occasions I've worked with animals, and animals pass over just the same as humans, don't they?
Exactly. And somebody, or, you know, like just like a relative or a friend, you know, they will come and get you, all right?
Yeah.
It's the same way the queen did. She came for little Coco, and she took her home.
Yes.
Fascinating, and it's just wonderful. It's a true story, and one of these days I'll tell you the true story of how the queen passed.
Okay, I look forward to hearing it, actually. Yeah, very definitely. There's often I find, like with animals can have issues with passing over the same as humans do, so if there's anybody out there listening who ever has an animal, they want to know where they've passed over or where they've been passed over okay, always welcome to contact Endon and myself, and we can always either check it or work with that. There's different people I've had that, you know, I've worked with their animals passing over, and it has made a difference. Like, well, this one story comes to mind. There was a person whose animal was always appearing around the house and that, and they just hadn't passed over, and there was a reason for it, which I won't go into the moment because I think it was personal, but it gave them the ability to then know the dog was okay, and it's the events that were happening around their house based around this animal appearing stopped after that. They said there was a greater sense of peace and they were able to move on. And it's always important to check our animals as much as humans, or to acknowledge their path onwards. Because often within the thought or the acknowledgement, it gives it permission to happen.
I have heard and read several places that people sometimes grieve more over their pet than they will a relative.
I've heard that and come across it.
Yes. Well, to me, my babies, I have three. I have a St. Bernard, a little mutt girl now, and I had the little teacup poodle. And they were all my babies.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so, you know, I'm still grieving from all the other ones that passed away. So, but I keep in contact with them, and that is very good for me because they give me clarity with their eyes, and they tell me that everything's going to be all right. Or they're dancing around, playing up there and having a good time. And so it makes me happy.
Yeah. Well,
just to know that I know that they're in a better place, just like if a human passed away.
Yeah. Often I find too, like when you're getting sensations from that, often it's that clarity that it comes through with. Like a lot of people who question how we go about getting readings or communicating with animals and even entities on the other side. Often it's not in words. So it's not like your dog suddenly learns to speak English or any other language that's available. They often communicate in emotions, and it's like a wave of emotions or awarenesses or understandings that come across. And it's picking up on that quite often gives us the messages that we get. And even for people that don't think they're psychic, you know, if you've had an animal that's passed and you have the animal come to you into your dream, it's a matter of just being open to what you're feeling from the animal at the time that it appears to you. And quite often that's the message you're getting. If you get a sense of comfort with it, just acknowledge the comfort. If you get a sense of appreciation, acknowledge the appreciation that the animal's had and does have with you. If you just get a sense of love, accept that and acknowledge it.
Exactly. I have some more little stories now and then. I could give one about my father right after he passed.
Yeah.
We was at my mother's house, and I was sitting on the bed with my mother, my little sister, which was there. Now, she doesn't believe in being psychic or any of that stuff. Well, she believes, but she doesn't want to.
Yep.
So, although she is very psychic herself, I've told her several times. But she was in the refrigerator, and she tried to shut it. It wouldn't shut. And I, all of a sudden, I just start kind of laughing, because I know what's going on already. So she says, huh. So she moves everything around, tries to shut the door again. It still wouldn't shut. There's nothing in the way. So she gives me that weird look, and I said, mm-hmm. I said, go ahead, try to shut it again. So she did. And she said, okay, what is wrong with this refrigerated door? I said, Daddy's in it.
Amazing.
And it was true. He was holding the door, because I was watching the whole thing, and I could see my dad there. He was doing what he normally does. He always went into the refrigerator, opened it, and just kind of snooped all around in it to see what he could pick out to eat, you know.
Yeah.
So he was doing that again, you know. So, and my sister just looks at me, and then she says, oh, my goodness, you're right. She says, I could smell his tobacco. And I said, good girl. She says, and then she says, that really was Daddy, wasn't it? I said, yes. I said, now, Daddy, get out of the refrigerator. So I said, now shut the door, and it just went shut.
Yep.
Because he moved out of the door.
Yeah.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah. Oh, it's
but,
amazing.
You know, I am connected with the spirits, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It sort of reminds me, there's so many stories I've come across.
Oh, we could tell stories for years, couldn't we?
That's what I'm thinking, and it's like, which one do you pick first?
I just pick whatever comes to mind at the time.
Yeah. It's amazing how often, you know, people that don't think they're psychic, once you just mention that something's there, they pick up on it as well. And a lot of people I find have the ability to perceive what's there. It's just giving themselves permission to actually do it. And often that can be done with a simple question or a simple statement of something that appears to be around, and they connect with it. From there, they can start getting their own information.
Correct. That's true. If they're just open to the possibility that it is there, they will grasp it.
Yeah. And a lot of it is, it's a different way of communicating too. That's the big thing I find. Like, often I find there's an expectation that it's going to be like having a conversation like we're having now, and it doesn't quite work the same way. As I say, sometimes we do get it in words, and we do hear words from people. Other times we're getting it through the emotions, and you're learning to interact with the emotions and interpret them as well as receive them. Other things we get is sometimes we get pictures. Sometimes they're real, sometimes they're symbolical. And it's just learning to interpret these things that come. And the other thing I find sometimes, for me personally, I get things in what I call waves of awareness, and it's like I'll get a block of information all in one go. And it's learning to work with that as well.
It's like a wave of wind that kind of flows through to you. Is that
Definitely.
What you just said?
Yeah. And sometimes your head feels like it's expanded way beyond its normal size. But
well,
that's
I just
okay.
want to be clear on what you were saying, you know, so that the audience would, you know.
Definitely appreciate it.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big one. These are the sort of things we find that if anybody wants to ring up and is interested, if you've had any experiences which you'd like to know a bit more about or just curious about, feel free to ring up and we can sort of go over the experience with you and help you understand what goes on, what you can do with it, and how to work with the information that you're getting. It's a very easy thing to do. And once you get the tools, normally you can head off in your own path quite easily. And, you know, you can check with other people along the way, and they'll help you as well.
Yes, and that number to call is 1-888-268-4313. That's 1-888-268-4313. And if you're international calls, it's 218-419-7697. We would love to hear from you. You can call in anytime.
And for those people that have called in already over our past shows, if you'd like to call back and let us know how you've gone, we'd love to hear from you as well. Sometimes it's always nice to get confirmation or just to hear where things have gone. Maybe it's a bit of information we could add to what's happened to complete it a bit more. So always feel free to touch base and work with it a bit further.
Now, let's talk about the limitations of ourselves.
Ooh.
We all have limitations.
Yeah.
Correct. But there really shouldn't be any limitations. If people would think back to their religious life days and they would read the Bible just to say, right?
Yep.
Okay. From the Bible, it says that whatever I can do, you can do also.
Yeah, which is one of the key things that most of us forget. And it's a big one that I find. It comes back to a saying that reminds me of is that we are all gods in the making. And it's not, for me, that's not saying we're going to supersede God or anything. We all come from we're made from God. God made us from a part of himself or herself. And from that, we have the essence of that, which is all the abilities, all the willingness, and all the understanding that goes with it. We just need to learn how to use it, how to work with it, and what it's about.
Whatever he could do, we can do. But the thing of it is, we have limitations. People do not believe they can do as another. They have the limits. They have a fear of going above what somebody else might say about them. Oh, you believe in psychics? Oh, see, that puts doubt in another person's mind.
Yep.
And it's limits there.
Yeah. There's often the limits. And
that big fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one of the things I was looking at here, with doubts that we have, often it's not doubt in the ability, it's doubt in ourselves.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things that I look at with that is whenever we're coming into a situation, I always recommend looking at the situation and ask yourself, where am I in relationship to this situation? And picture in your mind's eye the situation itself and where you are in relationship to it. And this is in your mind's eye. Are you below it, above it, or equal to it? And if you're above or below, well, if you're above it, bring the situation up to you till it's equal. Notice how it was beforehand and notice how it feels when it gets equal with you. And if you're below it, lift yourself up equal to the situation. And once again, notice what it was like when you started and how it is when you complete that exercise. And then ask yourself, which way is the most empowering? What is the most empowering position? And a bit of information I'd like to throw in with this is a quote from Nelson Mandela, which is, the thing that we're most afraid of is our fullest potential. Now, within that, when we're looking at fear, fear is about what we think is going to happen. It's always future-based. It's not about what's happening. It's about what we think is going to happen. And that is just our imagination. Now, fear, to me, if I break it down, it's false emotion appearing real. And a wee example I give of that often is like, if you're standing on a road or crossing a road and you see a truck coming, if you get overwhelmed by the fear, you suddenly, there's a truck coming, and you can get into, it's going to hit me, and you freeze. Well, if you do that, there is a chance it is going to hit you. But if you don't get caught up in the fear and just be aware, there is a truck coming, I need to move out of the way, which is empowerment, you can act on it, and you can move into a safe location. You're always in an empowered and or safe location. You're in a safe and working relationship to the world that moves around us. So we don't, it's not a matter of being in fear of the world, which is based on our perceptions, based on our false emotions, which is A, we can be overwhelmed, B, I'm disempowered, and there's a series of other emotions which can come up, which we get caught up in. They're all based on the illusions of which we maintain or hold on to, that something can happen to me or this will do something to me. And generally I find it only happens if we maintain that image and stand there until it happens.
One of my famous sayings that I wrote myself, sometimes it's not what you do, but it's what you don't do that makes a difference in our life.
Yeah, it's a big one, that one. There's like one of the things that comes to mind for me with that is, there's a wee story I came across a while ago, that it was, this man had passed over and he was going up to heaven. And he gets to heaven and he meets St. Peter, and St. Peter and him have a chat, and he's, St. Peter welcomes him to heaven and says, you know, he's glad to have him. And he starts walking him towards the pearly gates. And as they're walking along, they're going through this field, and this field is just covered with objects. And, you know, this guy's seeing, you know, there's a Rolls Royce there, there's a luxury house, there's this beautiful boat, there's wonderful holidays. And he's, you know, and the guy says to St. Peter, he says, you know, who gifts were these? You know, who didn't claim these? And St. Peter turns around to him and says, they were yours. They are the ones that you didn't claim or you didn't go for.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's often when we've got opportunities, we've got potentials in front of us, we don't go for what we've got the capability to have. We don't give ourselves the opportunity we've got available, and we don't give ourselves the ability to receive what we've got from opportunities. Now, sometimes things happen not just for physical reward, but for also personal learning. And there's a lot incorporated into that. Sometimes it's learning to go for things. Sometimes it's learning to let go at the right time. So it's not always attaching and holding on. It's about moving through experiences as and when we need to. Things come into our life and they go out of our life, and it's learning to follow each opportunity as it arises. And once again, once we learn to follow that, we actually follow the path which gives us the greatest rewards. And eventually that will lead to our growth. That's what it's about at the end of the day. It's not about how many material possessions we have. It's about how much we grow and develop along the path. Now, the way I look at material possessions and money are the things that give us the ability to have experiences. Like if we have the ability to receive a holiday, it's the things that we learn from having a holiday. And sometimes it's just learning to give ourselves time out. It's learning to relax. It's learning to appreciate the environment which we go to. There's so much we can get from what seems like a simple experience to rewards from it that go way beyond just the holiday itself and that we take home with us.
Right.
Sorry, Endon, over to you. I'm aware I'm probably taking up a lot of the airtime, and I
oh no,
I
love
you
listening to you just to hear your voice. But everything you say is correct, and I agree wholeheartedly. I have another little thing that I wrote some time ago, and I have actually heard other people say the very same thing years later of what I wrote before. And, you know, good word gets around, you know. But anyway, and I wrote this some time ago, and I put it up in my group, and it starts out, "You have heard me many times say it is time to take the garbage out. But what does this mean? And how can you achieve this? Take the garbage out." Now, I've heard other people say these words almost exactly as I've written them like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they round. I've even heard others say my words. Okay, time to take the garbage out. Good words, you know, get around. But I have yet to hear how to take the garbage out of our lives. Not one time have I seen this. Anybody can, you know, take the time to move forward with this idea of taking out all the garbage out. The sadness, the depression, whatever that is considered garbage in your life. Okay.
Okay.
And then I created simple ways for people to take the garbage out of their life. They can do it or they don't have to do it. You know, it's a choice. What I did was I asked people to get a notebook marked "My Garbage."
Okay. Yep.
And that was the first thing I did. The second thing I did was write down all your sadness, your fears, etc.
Yep.
When you are finished, you crumple that paper up and take it out to the garbage.
Oh, okay.
You have just set all your garbage free.
Yep.
That is a simple, real letting go, because you actually see your garbage being taken out with your own hands out to the garbage can.
It's a very simple exercise, but it could be quite meaningful.
Well, I wrote this, like I say, several years ago and put it in my group post.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, with people just by writing down everything that they fear and to forgive themselves for fearing what they have feared for really most of the time is for no reason. So you set yourself free, and you keep your little notebook handy, and because you might need it again, you know, to write down again. But that's a little easy way to just get rid of your garbage in your life is to actually write it down, read it over, and take time to just crumple up the paper, shred it, whatever, and actually take it out to the garbage. You know you have set yourself free, and you have actually taken the garbage out.
Yeah. And what's it like to actually let go of those patterns which we're wanting to let go of?
Right.
And it's one of the things that's worth looking at is actually the physical experience of letting something go. And as you say, writing it down like that gives us the opportunity to actually do that. What is it like to physically let something go? And as you feel it go, notice what you felt like before you let it go, and notice what you feel like after you've let it go, and which one's preferable.
Well, the main thing is actually being able to face what fears you have by writing them down.
Mm.
This is a release in your mind. It's like a reprogramming your mind. To reprogram your mind to actually see yourself getting rid of every little thing that has been bothering you.
Yeah.
And you throw it away, because that's all you can do. You throw it out.
Yeah. There's two points in this that come to mind for me. One is, with forgiveness, a lot of people seem to stumble on forgiveness and what it's about. And one of the key factors I look in forgiveness is learning to actually forgive ourselves, and this is the important matter, is forgiving myself for feeling the way I did towards me in that situation. Because that's often what is the issue. It's the way we're perceiving ourselves in the situation, which may be as a victim, or at fault, or having been punished for something, or something's been done to us, so we feel encroached upon. And those are our feelings we have towards ourselves. So we actually need to forgive ourselves for feeling that way.
Well,
and that's saying, I'm now going to allow myself to feel a better way about this.
What I do with some of the people I work with, I tell them, go buy yourself a great big mirror.
Mm.
If you have one in the bathroom, that's fine too. But you take every morning, you're going to look in that mirror and you're going to say, I forgive myself. 3, 4, 5 times for anything. And then you can go about your day because you just threw away all the embedded fear of not being forgiven. So you have forgiven yourself, that way it's released and gone.
Do you get people to look at other stages with that forgiveness progress, or do you look at it as a one-step process?
Oh, no, I go through a whole bunch of stuff.
Okay.
Like I'll go through with the mirror trick, you know, you can forgive yourself, you know, if you want to. And then if you want to use the mirror, you can use the mirror as your own personal guide, per se, but not actually your own guide. But just say, okay, Chris, you come to me and you say, I need to forgive myself, but I don't know how. So I tell you to go to the mirror and you just say it. Just do it.
Yep.
Just do it. Okay. So the next time you say to me, well, I've done something and I want to know if I'm a worthy person to do this. Will I be worthy to get this new promotion? Just say, go to your mirror again. And tell that mirror you are a worthy person at least 3, 4, 5 times. And then you know in your mind, because your mind is already set now. Before it was set that you weren't worthy. But when you said it out loud that you were worthy, it's in your mind now that it has been reprogrammed to look at yourself in a different way, that you are a worthy person after all.
Well, it's a big one to consider the possibility sometimes for a lot of us when we're looking at developing a new pattern or a new way of approaching a situation. We haven't considered the possibility of what it's actually like. So when we go into the new way of living, we actually don't have an idea of what we're moving into.
Well, for every action, there's a reaction.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so, okay, all of a sudden, you're going down. See, I have another little thing that I talk about when I'm talking to people. When you're down the road, just say, and you come to this stop sign in the middle of the road.
Yes.
Okay. One road goes this way, one road goes that way, and one goes straight ahead. It's a three-way stop. Okay. You take the one to the right. You're traveling all around, and all of a sudden, there's blockage. And you go, okay, I need to turn around and go back. I'll take the next road. Again, you go to the left, and it has a lot of blockages. You can't get back onto the right road. So you come back around, and you're right back where you began. And you just look, and the road straight ahead, the straight and narrow, is the one to get on through.
Yes.
You mentally put that in your mind. That there is a stop sign, and you take the road that feels good to you.
Yep. And there's a big one in this that I get. When we travel down a path or a road, and we do get blockages and we end up having to come back, we don't come back to the same place we were before, and we don't come back as the same person. Even though we didn't get to the end of that road and there was a blockage, we've learned from that experience. And it brings up for me today somebody who felt that all the experiences they had were showing how unworthy they were. And I talked to them about what they'd learned from all those experiences. And I also got them to look at how much they'd actually learned from all those experiences. And when they look at the wealth of knowledge they collected, it changed the way they viewed the experiences.
Right. Every wrong way is not a wrong way. It is a right way, but it was the way it had to be to go to get to the right way.
Yeah. And often a lot of people talk about mistakes in their lives. And to me, one of the greatest places we can learn from in this is actually the movie industry. The movie industry takes a whole lot of mistakes all the time. And it goes through those mistakes to get the right take, as they call it. And that's the way we should be viewing our life, exactly the same. We do things one way to learn that we've got another option to work, to do with it. And we keep on going through things until we get it right. And that's what life's about. It's about learning. It's about developing. It's about getting the right way, the right approach, the right attitude, the right us. And that's the one that works.
Exactly. You keep doing it till you get it right.
Yeah.
Not trying to do it, because that's a bad word, trying, because that's just another word for failing.
Yeah.
You keep doing until you get it right.
And
don't just try, because if you're going to try, you may as well just give up, because it's in your mind anyway. Well,
yeah.
I'll try, and if it don't work, then, you know, hey. But if you just put it in your mind that whichever way you're going to go, you're going to keep going until you get it right.
Yeah. And to me, you know, for me, a big life thing I've got is there's no other option but success. I can't help but succeed in whatever I'm doing. And why can't I help but succeed? And that's because I'm going to learn from it.
Exactly.
It's always moving me forward. And that makes, to me, is the beauty of life. Life has always got something for us, no matter which way we go. And in doing that, we have so much to gain from it. And to me, that comes back to a lot of the gifts and things we have the ability to receive in life we miss by making decisions about life of what we think it is, which is often in making it wrong and judging it and deeming it as not worthy or for whatever reason. But we don't want to do that, because the very person we're doing it to is ourselves. If we look at what we can learn from what we've experienced, then we're always going to gain from it. Even if it's to learn, I don't want to go that way again, or that's something I'm never going to want to do again, we can still learn that.
Oops,
and
I don't want to sit under that tree. An apple fell on my head.
No. Well, that's the thing. And
you know,
say, well, I'll sit out the side of the tree where it's nice and sunny, and I can catch the apples and enjoy them.
Right. You know, but that's just the way it is. You know, without hopes and dreams, one doesn't have a life at all.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely. One of the things that comes to mind for me, too, is that when we look at life, there's two main things I find that come up for people. There's those of us who go towards what we don't, or go towards what we want, and those of us who go away from what we don't want. When we're always going away from what we don't want, we don't actually turn around to see what we do want.
Or what you just passed up.
What was that?
Or what you just passed up.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, don't go for the diamond if the ruby is you better.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you can go to the diamond.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you can end up with the diamond, the ruby, and the garnet.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a big one.
It's more fun that way.
Yeah. And it's always picking up those little opportunities along the way that we spot. And when we're going for what we do want, we tend to be walking forward, facing forward. When we're going away from what we don't want, we're always looking usually at what has happened and what has happened in the past. And we're actually never looking forward, and we're never looking for where we are going. So away from people, never actually take the time to perceive what's in front of them.
Well, my thing is, I never look at a person's past. It's the here and now that I look at as far as a person. If I'm doing a reading, I can look into the past. But
yeah.
As far as the person itself, I don't look at the past, because they're here where they are right now, and that's just where they are supposed to be, in that same position, that same state of mind, regardless of their past.
Precisely.
So And then, you know, it's like this, you know, the past is gone.
Yep.
Today is here and tomorrow has not yet come.
Yeah.
So, you know, tomorrow will be today and it still hasn't come.
Yeah.
In reality, you know.
Yeah.
But as a person, you know, a person will say, well, tomorrow I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, but it never comes. That's where they get that old saying, you know, tomorrow never comes, because people don't really do what they're supposed to do today to get to tomorrow.
It's a big one, that. And procrastination's an amazing thing. You know, there's so many of us have this procrastination thing, but there's so much we miss for whatever reason. But there's always a safe thing with procrastination, I say, that it's the safest thing you can do. Because if you procrastinate and don't do something, sooner or later, something will come along to make you do it. Like if you have to learn something or you have to go through an experience, you can avoid it if you want to, but sooner or later, something will come along to make it happen. So
exactly. Well, see, I work like almost 24/7 every day. I get tired. Well, I was recently told to just slow down in a not a very comfortable way.
Oh.
So I have slowed down a little bit, so I'm hoping everything will turn out a little bit better. And I know it will, because I'm not going to just try to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of it myself. But the idea of it is, I was told to slow down. Don't take everything in to my heart or into my lungs like I have been, as far as other people's energy or helping them with their problems so much. You know, don't get it as involved as I had been.
Yes.
You know, be involved, but maybe not closely involved, because I tend to care a lot more about the person than 99% of the other people do in this world. You know,
yes.
So I just care too much, and it's time for me to just kind of back off and let somebody care for me a little bit.
It's always a worthwhile thing to do, is remember to balance things out. You can give at times, but it's also good to receive, because both of them we can learn from and everybody else can learn from. It's good to learn to give and it's good to learn to receive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at receiving. I'm only good at giving, and that's my main thing. I give, you know. But I have my brother, I think you know him. His name is Silent Crow.
Yes.
Well, he is a magnificent person. Extremely wise, but we'll have to get him on the show at this one sometime. But he has the ability to manifest himself into an animal, shapeshift, and come and see you. And the one he likes to use the most is the crow. Now, he came the other day to my house, and he was on the branch, and he gave me all kinds of heck. He yelled at me and yelled at me. And a few days later, I just kind of just went, I know it's you. Just go on home. I'm okay. So he was checking up on me and yelling at me for, you know, just being too busy and working too hard on certain things that I do. And so, anyhow, one of these days we'll have him. He does native dancing. He does wonderful dances at these powwows, you know.
Because Silent Crow, he's got his own website too, hasn't he?
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember going to him. It's a website that's worth looking at as well for any of our listeners. Do you have a link to that on your website as well, Don?
Darn, I bet you I don't.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to rectify that. Because
yeah.
I should have had it on before, and I just didn't. But I do have a native page on there. I think I'll add that to that page.
Be worth doing, because I know when I've been to his website, I found it very informative. So.
Oh, he's a very informative person.
Yeah.
He's very kind, very sweet. Love him to death, you know. But
very gentle-spoken, too, I find.
Oh, he's soft-spoken. I'm the outspoken one. But he's just a wonderful person, and I don't know, he just has so many different, we have different paths, but they're leading to the same thing.
Yeah.
He went into more of the native side than I did.
Yeah.
which is okay with both of us, because we both know, you know. But
he's very much got the language with that too, I found, like having spoken to Silent Crow before. He's very much got that whole life approach with it. It's like it is his life, and so
yes,
much.
It is. That's the one thing we have together.
Yeah.
24/7 spirituality. 24/7 We walk it, we talk it, we are fully spiritual people.
Yeah.
And
which is quite different from a lot of us in the Western society where, you know, we're living it as a theory rather than as an actuality. And I think as the Western world, it's something we've still yet to learn.
Well, a lot of people want to talk it, but they don't want to walk it. And Carl and I, we walk it and we talk it. And we figure, well, I know he's thinking the same thing I am, if he's listening right now, that if you can walk it, you best be able to talk it. Or if you can talk it, you best be able to walk it. Because people sooner or later are going to find out about you.
Yeah. I always look at it this way. If you're going to try something, the way to do it is to physically and practically try it. Find out how it goes through experience. Don't just contemplate the theory, but try the reality of it. It's worth doing. You may find out it's even far more enjoyable than you ever thought possible.
Right.
And it's, you know, whether it's being in touch with ourselves, experiencing life. Now, experiencing life may sound like a simple statement, but for a lot of us it gets complicated because our mind tends to distract us. Our mind is always telling us to what has happened or what's going to happen. Whereas experiencing life is being in the moment, which is the reality. The only time we ever exist is in the moment. The past memory, the future is a fantasy. The here and now, which is constantly changing. And you can't think about it, because as soon as you think about it, that's a thought about what has already happened.
And I have this other little saying, what a person said 5 minutes ago is hearsay. Everything I spoke of earlier tonight is hearsay. And whatever you said earlier tonight is hearsay. What we are saying right now is what we are saying.
Yeah. And it's always a big one to learn. When I've done some workshops, I often say to people that, you know, what I say today may not be what I say tomorrow. And a big reason for that is, you know, between now and whenever, any of us can have experiences which we can learn from. And it's that learning. It may take us beyond where we've been previously. It may take us beyond the knowledge we had yesterday or the day before. And it's acknowledging that constant state of progression, which a lot of us don't do. It's like because we said something, you know, today, we think we've got to hold on to it and protect it for all the future. Not so. It's okay to change your opinion. It's okay to change our minds. It's okay to shift a position on something, because that's what learning's about. It's about giving ourselves permission to move, to grow, and to be a unique individual from moment to moment and from day to day. And it's empowering ourselves every step of the way.
And don't be afraid to ask for support or help.
Yeah. And if you're not sure about something, always be prepared to say so. Because I find if you're talking in a situation, if you can acknowledge where you are and what's going on, it gives you permission to learn from it. It also gives you permission to move beyond where you've currently been. If you're not sure about something, say so, because there's a good chance, hopefully, that there'll be somebody around who does. And when you put it out there that you're open to learning this, it gives permission for that person to come into your life, to come into your experience, maybe at a party or a social function, and give you the information you're looking for, or the direction that you're seeking at the time.
It gives you a release of contract.
Yeah. It's quite a beautiful thing, I find. Once you start working with that life approach of actually putting out where you are, being honest with and direct with it, it allows a lot of things to come into your life that can start changing in a really positive way, whether it's through social contacts, personal friends, through people that you meet, through courses and programs that you do, or just, once again, listening to the radio. And, you know, I hope Endon and I have said something tonight that has helped change somebody's life in a positive way, has made a difference. Endon, I was just giving a brief go to let you have a breather.
I have a breather. Yeah. Please start calling in. It's 1-888-268-4313. International calls are 218-419-7697. The numbers again are, for toll is 888-268-4313. International calls are 218-419-7697. Oh, guess what, Chris? I got a couple of people that sent me emails for getting their numerology done.
Okay, well, that's
isn't
nice.
That wonderful?
Yeah, and it's nice to hear.
They didn't, I didn't charge them. I just didn't, you know. But anyway,
yeah.
I hope they're going to be happy with them. And then another little note I want to say, Michelle, if you're listening, happy birthday. That's
oh,
my daughter.
Likewise. Yeah. Congratulations on the happy day. Yeah. It's actually a big one. It's, I think of birthdays and I think of it as a time of celebration. And it's always something that's worth doing, is celebrating ourselves in one way or another, you know. For each year we've had, it's a year of learning, it's a year of growth, and looking at where we've come from the year before. To me,
where do you want to be next year? See, that you need to make plans. You need to make personal plans also. If you don't make a personal plan of what you want to do tomorrow, mentally in your mind, or you can write it down, which would be probably better, to make your plans. Because if you don't, you have no clear idea in which direction you're going to go. So make your plans, because if you don't, you plan to fail.
A bit of information I had in that area is they did a survey in a school quite a few years ago where they looked at the percentage of students that actually had a clear goal of where they saw themselves going. And they found that that percentage of students, which was just a very small percentage of the class, several years later had 80% of the wealth of that class.
I hate to interject, but we have a new a show here that starts in 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Don.
Thank you.
We're going to sign off, and remember to visit our website at www.mystic-creations.com. Thank you, and it's been my pleasure to be here tonight along with Chris. Night.
Good night, everybody. One of the other things, websites that we can visit is paranormalhelp.com. For those who have paranormal experiences they're wanting assistance with, they can contact Denise Jones there and get assistance through her. She's a very beautiful person and worth listening to and communicating with for any issues in that area. And,
thank you, Chris.
Yes. And once again, you contact Endon and I through our website. And, you know, what is the date? Don said we had about 3.5 minutes left, so we've still got a brief spot here. Once again, next week we're going to be off the year. The radio station's moving, so for all those who would like to listen again in the future, be listening in a fortnight from tonight, and Endon and I will be back again, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. And once again, if you've got any questions, feel free to email us at Endon's Mystic Garden, and we would love to bring those questions forward during the program and answer them for people. And once again, if you want to, you can ring us, and we'll answer the questions as
I well. I read every email, so I will answer every email.
And Endon's very good at that, I can assure you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.